Hey, good morning, Authentic Life Church. Good morning and welcome to everybody. Welcome to our guests. We're glad that you are with us this morning. I'm glad that we're able to gather and sing and worship together, even if it is in our living rooms or our cars or wherever it is that you are today, being able to open up God's Word and be united as followers of Jesus and as a church family. Hey, just a quick reminder, don't forget to go online and click that button on our homepage for our sermon notes. Let us know you're here today with that connection card, or if you need to sign up for anything, you can use that. But guys, we're a praying church, and we want to pray and seek God on your behalf. So if there's a prayer request, let us know, and we will we'll pray for you. There's a prayer request button on there, and then, as was mentioned before, you have the opportunity to securely give online of your tithes and offerings. Last week, we took a pause in our current series in Ephesians to focus on a special message for Mother's Day. It was great to do that and spend the time in the Word together, learning the importance of being with Jesus. This morning, we're going to be back in our series in Ephesians, focusing on our walk with Jesus. We've been studying Ephesians for a while. And in the first half of Ephesians, Paul really focuses on who we are when we come to know Christ. What is our identity in, who is our identity in Christ? Because before Jesus, here's who we were lost, we were chained to our sin, we're spiritually dead, separated from God, but because of His great love and mercy and grace, Jesus came and gave His life for you and for me and rose again so that we could be forgiven, rescued from sin, and so that we could have our new identity in Christ. Because here's the reality. If you know Christ, if you're saved, you are now His and He is yours. We are now His and He is ours. We are adopted into the family of God. We're part of His church. And because of who we are, because we're His, Jesus calls us to live our lives, to walk in such a way that gives evidence that we are His. And so our sermon for the sermon series through the second half of Ephesians is titled Walk Worthy for that reason, because Paul urges us as followers of Jesus to walk worthy, which means walk or live in such a way that shows the world, that shows everyone that you're His, right? That He is Lord of your life. And that we are part of His family. And so 2 weeks ago when we began the Walk Worthy series, we saw Paul begin by focusing on the church and focusing on the body of Christ. See, Paul was reminding us that God is the one that brought us together as brothers and sisters in Christ to live for Him and to glorify Him. But also, He brought us together so that we could accomplish His mission together. And Paul started by saying that we must do this together. And he urges us to walk worthy, to walk worthy together as the church, as His body. And so, guys, this isn't something, when we walk this walk, it was not meant to be done on our own. It was meant to be done together, to live out this life together as a church family. And so he urges us to walk together and be united. And we learned how to accomplish that unity and how to fight for and maintain the unity and not allowing anything or anybody or even Satan to divide us. And that leads us to where we are now. This morning, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. Go ahead and turn there in your Bibles or your Bible apps, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to continue to look at what it means to be a church that walks worthy together. In the first six verses, Paul had focused on the body as a whole, right? He's looking at the whole body, the unified body. But today, he's going to do something a little bit different. As I'm looking into this camera, right, he is going to zoom in and he's going to talk about the members of that body. You see, the Bible, often refers to the church as the body, right? The body of Christ. And the body is one whole, complete unit. But it's made up of many different members. My body is one complete unit, but yet I've got a foot and a leg and hands and a head. And so it's one complete unit, but made up of many different members. Let me give you a couple of illustrations before we dive in. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I grew up loving the Kansas City Royals. Man, I'm still a big Royals fan. And in 2015, after 30 years, the Royals, man, they won the World Series. If you were to look it up online or you were to look it up in the record book, it doesn't say the pitcher or the center fielder won the World Series. It doesn't say that the coach or the designated hitter won the World Series. It says the team, the family, the unit, the Kansas City Royals as a whole won the World Series. Right? They set out on a mission. Together, they prepared and planned and worked and pursued that championship together. And it didn't just take one or two. It took each person on that team to accomplish the mission. 2008, at the Olympics, a man named Usain Bolt, right? He broke the world record. I pay attention to track. I ran track in high school. And in the men's 100-meter dash, he broke the world record. He had prepared and trained his entire body for that exact moment. And when you look it up, you don't see the record belonging to his feet or to his legs. It belongs to Mr. Bolt, the whole body, right? It took his mind to be prepared and focused. It took his ears to hear that starting pistol. It took his heart and his lungs to be healthy. It took his arms. They had to be in the right motion as he's running. His legs, his knees, his ankles, his feet, his toes. All were needed to do their part to accomplish the mission. And that's what we're going to talk about today regarding the church, the body of Christ. And see, guys, that we need to be united, as we looked at it a couple weeks ago. But it's vital to our mission that we play our part and that we're involved. And so would you grab your Bibles, open your Bible apps up, and just join me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 13. Ephesians 4, verse 7 through 13. Here's what the Word of God says. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean, except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he, Christ, gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. It's a big passage. Let's pray together before we dive in. Father God, we love you, and we thank you, God, for just the ability to gather and worship and open up the Word of God and read it together. We thank you for the truth. We thank you that we can trust the Word of God. We thank you that we can trust you. And so, God, this morning, we pray, Lord, that you would help us be in a posture and have an attitude of submission to hear from you today. God, help us, as we looked at last week, help us be at your feet listening to your Word. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would change us, and continue to make us more like you. God, if there's someone here today that's listening online or watching, God, we pray, Lord, that if they don't know Jesus, we pray that today would be a day that they would hear you call them, Father, know how much you love them, know that you died on the cross for their sins and that you rose again. God, we pray, Lord, that if there's someone that doesn't know Jesus, that's not saved, we pray, God, today would be the day for their salvation, that they would be able to rejoice that they are yours today. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that you'd be at work in us, be at work in everybody that is attentive today. God, I pray, Lord, today the words that come from me, God, we pray, Lord, that they are from you. God, that you are ultimate glorified. Be honored. God, we pray, Lord, today that we would make much of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, when we think about Bolt running his race, some think that it was his feet or his legs that were the most important part in his race. When you think about the Royals winning the World Series, somebody might think it was this batter or this pitcher or that coach. When you think about the runner, the truth is if his hand slipped at the starting block, if his mind wasn't focused, if his ears decided they didn't want to be part of the race that day, then there's no mission accomplished. There's no broken record. I'll tell you what, if the coach decided I don't want to focus today, the right fielder is out chasing, you know, butterflies or something, if they're not focused, man, no mission, no World Series. Here in our text today, We aren't talking about a race. We're not talking about a baseball team. We're talking about something much more important. The Word of God is addressing the family of God. It's addressing the church, the body of Christ, and the mission that God has set before us. It's not a mission to win a ball game or to win a race. It's a much bigger mission. As followers of Jesus, we are people that have been rescued from sin. We have been rescued from the pits of hell. God has called us as His church to be a part of what He's doing. He rescued us and now He's calling us to be a part of what He is doing here in Tucson and across the globe. The Bible tells us that Jesus desires that all would come to know Jesus and be saved. We know that Jesus came because God so loved the world, and He has this mission that we get to be a part of. Here's what He does. He sends us out. He sends us out to be His ambassadors, to represent Him, to tell others about Him, to be His witnesses, to tell the world about Jesus. Right? To tell them that God loves them and wants to rescue them. We get to be a part of that. Right? We get to tell people that Jesus wants a personal relationship with them. Here's the other thing. God wants the church to help one another, to help you and I, right? To grow in our walk with Jesus. And God calls the church to love and serve those around them, to love and serve our community and our neighbors. Here's the reality. God has chosen the church. He's chosen the local church to be on mission, to be on His mission. And in the church, there's one body, but there are many parts to that body. And it takes all of us working together. So when we open this up and we look at verse 7, Paul begins by saying five words that are very important. He says this, "But to each of us." As mentioned before, he's looking at the whole body, and now he's zooming in on the parts of the body, on the members. When it says, "but to each of us," who is each of us? Who is talking? Who is Paul talking to? Who is he talking about? He's talking to those that know Jesus. He's talking to followers of Christ, people that God has saved and brought into the family of God. If you're saved this morning, he's talking to you and me, right? Paul went from a couple weeks ago, he was talking about y'all, now he's talking to you, right? As members of the body, essential members of the church. And so he says this, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Guys, to accomplish the mission that God has called us to be a part of, to share the gospel, to grow together, to serve, to live, to be who He has called us to be. God knew we could not do this on our own, out of our own power. Even all collectively together, we couldn't accomplish it. And so when a person turns to Jesus, when we are saved and we become part of the body, God gives to each of us a spiritual gift. We titled the sermon today, "A Gifted Church." Because for us to accomplish the mission that God has given us, God had to give us the ability to do that. He gives us spiritual gifts. If you look at your sermon notes, the very first note on there is this. Church, God gives spiritual gifts to people in the church. God gives spiritual gifts to people in the church. And we can fully rely on what we see here in Ephesians, but there are many supporting texts throughout the Bible that help us see this. Here's a few. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. It says this, "Just as each one has received a gift." Who's each one? Peter's writing to the local church, right? So just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Each one of us, as Jesus followers, has received a gift. And so you might ask the question, okay, what is a spiritual gift? Paul tells us. He tells us right here in verse 7. He describes the gift, right? He says this. He first speaks of grace, right? Grace, what we receive. The gift we receive is from the grace of God. Meaning this. It's an undeserved benefit. It's an undeserved gift. The spiritual gift that God gives us is undeserved. And then Paul says that it is given. Grace was given, a gift is given to us. It's not something that we can earn or work toward. It's given. It cannot be earned, only received. And so Paul emphasizes that it was given. And then he calls it Christ's gift. So we see it's about grace, it's about it being given, and now we see that it's Christ's gift. The word gift here is a word, might be a little bit different than what we're used to. It's a word here that emphasizes that it is unearned. Here's what I mean by that. I remember when I graduated high school. We're at graduation time right now, and I remember when I graduated from high school all the way back, 20 years ago in the year 2000, right? We had a gathering at my parents' house, and family and friends came over, and they brought gifts. They brought cards. They brought gifts. Why? To celebrate what I and what others had accomplished. So it's still a gift, right? They gave it to me, but there was some earning or there was some deserving going on. The word that we see here that when it talks about Christ's gift really speaks of a completely free, unearned gift. And we receive this gift that was given to us by the grace of God. And so if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, it is given to you by the grace of God. It is given to us. We didn't earn it or work toward it, and it is fully a gift, free and unearned. And I want to help us dive a little bit deeper. Here is hopefully a helpful definition that might help one understand what this gift is, because this might be something that's just repetitive for you, and maybe that you've learned this before, but maybe somebody's listening today and saying, man, what is a spiritual gift? So here's a definition that I hope is helpful, because when we look at this gift, it has a purpose. There's a reason God gave it to us. I've received gifts before. I hope nobody is watching right now that this might be the case of. But man, there have been gifts that I've received, and I really didn't know what to do with them, right? I didn't know what to do with this gift. Have you ever done that? Have you ever received a gift that you never used, right? You start cleaning out a room, you're going to find a lot of them, right? So this gift from God, it comes with a purpose. There is a purpose that we have it. And so this definition is a little bit long, but hopefully you get the picture. A spiritual gift is this, a spiritual gift graciously given by the Holy Spirit, by God, to followers of Jesus to be used in serving Christ and the body of Christ. It is given so that the church may fulfill its mission of expanding the kingdom of God. To simplify that in your notes, spiritual gifts are given to us, they are used in serving Christ and the body of Christ to fulfill the mission of Christ. And here's the thing, guys, it's not a gift we can go to Amazon for. It isn't a gift we can earn or deserve. It is supernaturally given to those that follow Jesus so that we can do what Jesus calls us to do collectively as His church. That's what it is. Here's what that means for you at the moment that you came to know Jesus. When Jesus saved you, you were born again and brought into the family of God. And the Holy Spirit came immediately to live within you. And part of what He does is that through His grace, He gives you spiritual gifts to be used for the glory of God in His church. When we go back and we look at a baseball team, you have individual members of that team. And they're all playing to win. But here's the thing. All of those players have different abilities, have different gifts. Each player has their own ability, their own gifts, such as this. Like some are great at bat, right? Some of them can just knock that ball out of the ballpark. Some can throw a curveball so that others can't hit it. Some have the ability to coach. Some have the gift of speed. Some have the ability to dive and stop a ball so that it doesn't get past them. So when we think about the church, God places us in the church and He gives each of us this spiritual gift, a spiritual gift or multiple spiritual gifts to accomplish His mission. And so the next question is what are the spiritual gifts, right? How do we know what spiritual gifts are? I would love to have enough room on your notes, right, to cover this, but I don't think that Scripture gives us a complete list of the gifts. We have a pretty good list. When we look in the New Testament, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, we see a list. We see a list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We see a list in Romans chapter 12. And guys, just out of those, there are over 25 different spiritual gifts listed. And when we think about these spiritual gifts, I think we can categorize them a bit just to kind of help us. I think we see that generally these gifts, you know, some of them are speaking gifts, right? Gifts that help people in the church communicate truth. It's very important to communicate accurate truth, right? I think we see gifts that allow people to come alongside others and bear others' burdens. I think we see gifts in the church that allow people to lead or give direction. And so when we're looking at Scripture, we see many of them specifically listed, like the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouragement. We see listed the gift of leadership, the gift of faith, the gift of mercy, administration, and the gift of discernment. And we see other people using gifts throughout the New Testament that we might not specifically find mentioned here. But they're all given by God, right, through His grace so that we can accomplish His mission. Isn't that just an amazing picture? We never deserved it in the first place, but He says, you know what? I saved you, I brought you into my family, and I'm going to use you. And oh, by the way, I'm going to give you the gifts to use. People have asked me what my spiritual gifts are. You might know the gifts that God has given you. You might have someone that has really one or two gifts that they've been able to identify, or maybe God has given you more. There are surveys out there. There are questionnaires out there that help, right? They're good tools for that. But I'll tell you what, I think one of the best ways to identify the God-given gifts in your life is to have someone else in your life see them in you. I was speaking to someone on Zoom this past week in our church, and I just told them just straight up, I just let them know, I see this gift in you. They didn't have to tell me. I didn't have to have a survey. It was evident in their life. So ask someone, man, what do you see? What gift do you see in my life? For me, when I was younger, I never saw myself as a teacher. That was not something that I pursued. That was not something that I ever saw in me. But I will tell you what, I believe that God, when He called me to be a pastor, I believe that God gave me the spiritual gift of teaching, right? I didn't earn it, right? God called me to a particular role to do something, to be a pastor, and He gave me the gift to accomplish it. It wasn't anything that I earned or deserved, but God gave it to me as a spiritual gift. Let's look at some of them. Think through some of these gifts with me. When we think about teaching, here's the reality. All of us have the responsibility to teach, right? To take what you have learned from God and His Word and teach that to others, to share it with others, to teach it to your children, right? To teach it to others that God has placed in your life. But guys, there are others that God, through His grace, has just given some the ability to teach, to just effectively teach the Word of God. Maybe it's in preaching. Maybe it's in a smaller group setting. But it's just great to see those that God has given the gift to teach. Think about the spiritual gift of giving. Jesus examples it for us. He leads us to do that, right? That we're all to be giving. We're all called to be good stewards of what God has given us and to be givers, to be generous. So just because someone might have the spiritual gift of giving, that doesn't mean the rest of us don't. We're all called to be generous. But God has just gifted some with the spiritual gift of generosity and giving. We've got many of those in our church. And I'll tell you what, you usually don't have to look around and ask people to fill out a survey or to figure out who these people are. You just watch, right? You just watch God at work in their life. Whenever there's a need that comes up in their church or there's in our church or there's a family or in someone's life, a need comes up, man, these people just jump in and they ask, how can I meet that need? Gift of giving. And we could do that for all 25 plus of these, right? Here's what I love about God. God is a God over all, but He's a personal God. He's a personal God. He sees us as part of His church, but also as a valued and loved individual and as a member. He sees us and He gifts us. And here's the great thing, I think, in a very unique way. I like what John MacArthur says about this. Listen to what John MacArthur says. He says, each believer's spiritual giftedness is unique, as if each were a spiritual snowflake or fingerprint. It is as if God dips his paintbrush into different colors or categories of gifts on his spiritual palette and paints each Christian a unique blend of colors. Think about that. There is not anyone else in our church family that is gifted exactly like you are. No one that is gifted for this body, this family, at this time, right? It's unique to you. This is God's design. And these gifts are both for us to use and to receive. Here's what I mean by that, right? You use your gifts within the church, and there are people that receive that, that benefit from that. But you also receive and benefit from other people's gifts. So they're for us to use and receive. And again, that's just part of God's design. The spiritual gift that God has graciously given me, those gifts, they're not for me. They're not for my pride. They're not to prop me up. They are to glorify God, and they're to be used to serve Him and the church and to accomplish His mission. The gifts that God has given you, they're not to bring you glory. They're to bring God glory. They're to serve the church and so that you can be a part of accomplishing His mission. Here's the truth, guys. We need you. We need everybody, right? We need the spiritual gift that God has given you so that we can be the church that He has called us and really expects us to be. And so here's what that means. When someone decides to sit on the sidelines or they're unwilling to use the gifts within the church, the body cannot run the race like they're designed to. Now, don't hear me say that timeouts and rests aren't necessary. They're very necessary. I've taken pauses at different times, right? I've taken pauses with the intent to rest or to be built up or to be encouraged or to spend that time with Jesus. But as the Lord fills me up, He sends me back out. Amen? Right? But this is God's design for His body. He supernaturally gifted each follower of Jesus to use that gift for God's glory in His body, to be a part of the mission of God. We looked at this a couple weeks ago. Satan likes to mess that up, right? He wants to mess with us a bit. He wants us to think that our gifts are not valuable. Maybe your gift doesn't have you on stage or doesn't have you doing something that others might seem valuable. So Satan wants to get in there and discourage you. Or sometimes, if we're honest, sometimes we just decide to sit out of the game and just not use our gifts. Church, here's the thing. Each person, each gift is valuable and essential to accomplishing what God has called us to do at Authentic Life. Each and every one. If you're a part of Authentic Life Church, you are valuable. You are essential. You are important to the health of our church body. We cannot run the race the way that God has called us to run it without you. We can't. Too often, there is this mindset that only certain people or only certain gifts are important. And church, two things. That's not biblical and it's not true. Right? And this has been highlighted for us in the last few months. Every gift is important. Every gift is valuable. In the last few months, each one of us, right, we have benefited from people that are serving during this time that maybe you don't even know who they are, right? Each one of us behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, is valuable and essential. While we're doing our videoing and our streaming, there are people that are using their gifts so that we can come together as a church and worship the Lord through song in our homes right now. There are people using their gifts that God gave them to make it possible to have this message out there today. There are people that use their gifts each and every Sunday so that we can gather together as a body and worship together and learn together and grow together and serve together. There are people that use their gifts not just on Sunday, but throughout the week, right? And they use their gifts of encouraging and giving and serving and having mercy, so that we can be missional and love our community and love our church body. I remember when we launched Authentic Life Church. Man, boy, do I remember that. I remember the mission and the vision God laid on our heart. And I'm just like, God, how? And we just watched as God brought together a group of people. And guys, all sorts of different types of people with different gifts. Why? So that he could be glorified in and through Authentic Life. So that we could accomplish the mission and the vision. I remember one time, I won't say his name, but many of you know him. I think all of you guys have been blessed by the gifts that God has given this guy. And I remember he came up to me one day and we were talking about our church. And he just said, Jeff, you're talking about us as the body and you're talking about the gifts that we have from God. And he just said something that just made me laugh and love him at the same time. He said, Jeff, consider me the colon. I know that's a weird thing to say, but listen, he said, consider me the colon. I'll serve. I'll do the dirty work. I'll take the trash out. I'll clean up. I'll serve, you know, however I need to serve. Right. And that's what we need in the body. Each one of you is vital and essential. There's a man named Paul Tripp. Listen to what he says. He says this. He says, you are part of something immense. Something that began before you were born and will continue after you die. Here's what we're a part of. God is rescuing fallen humanity, transporting them into his kingdom, and progressively changing them into his likeness. And he wants you to be part of it. And not only does he want you to be a part of a church, he saved you and rescued you and he gifted you all through his grace so that you could be part of it and so that you could do it in your own unique way. Wow. What a great word, church, and a great reminder for us. And another wow. We just spent all that time on the first verse. And so here's all those, the first few verses together. It says this, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a captive of hosts of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who had descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. There's a lot packed in here. But here's what this is doing. Those verses right there, they are highlighting Jesus as king. What Paul is doing is he's quoting from the Old Testament. And in their time, when a king conquered an enemy, when he conquered territory, he would come back to his people and bring gifts from places that they had conquered. And he would give gifts to those people. It was a time of rejoicing and of celebrating and victory. And what Paul is telling us here is this. Jesus is king. What he's telling us in those verses is this. He left heaven to come and be with us. He came to live the life we could not live and to die the death we deserve to die. Why? So that he could conquer sin, death, hell, and the grave. He conquered Satan and his tactics, and then he ascended back on high as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with all of power and all authority. And now, as was pictured there before, he's now giving gifts. Right? He's conquered, he's claimed victory, and now he's giving gifts to his people to accomplish his mission. And then verse 11, he begins to mention some of those gifts. We have some specifically mentioned here. Look at me, verse 11, we'll see some of these spiritual gifts that God gives. It says, and he, Christ, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. I really think through this text, through that verse, really, that we're seeing two things here with the mention of these gifts. I believe that we're seeing the specific gift and office with these and those roles. But I also believe that we're seeing general gifts that are needed in a healthy church body. Here's what I mean. I'm going to explain in just a minute, but I want us to look at the specific roles and gifts. So he says, he mentions the roles and offices in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Starting with apostles. When we see this, we know that Jesus calls the 12 to be his apostles. We see that in Mark chapter 3. And Jesus used these men. They walked with him. They saw him. They witnessed, right, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? They witnessed him being ascended back into heaven. We see all that. And he used these men to help start and build and teach and equip in the church. Right? I don't believe, church, that we have this role, specifically this office, anymore in the church in the sense of the office of apostles. That was reserved for those 12 that Jesus called and gave authority to. And then we see the prophets, right? Just like apostles, these were called by God, specific people called by God to hear from God and to tell others what he revealed to them, what he said. We see this in the Old Testament. We have the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, right, and other prophets. And we have others that are mentioned in the New Testament. And so I don't believe that this role, this office of prophet is an office in the church today. But we will talk about the gifts in a general sense in a minute, so we're not going to dismiss them at all. And then we have evangelists. He goes down, he's apostles, evangelists, or apostles, prophets, evangelists. Here's the thing, we're all called to be evangelistic, right? We're all commanded by Christ to tell others about Jesus. But there are people, you may know some people that have the gift of evangelism. They just have that special, unique gifting from God to go out and they look for those that don't know Jesus and they tell them. And then we have the pastor mentioned in verse 11. This is can be translated shepherd, right? The role or office of overseer and shepherd, or your translation may say bishop. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the ultimate shepherd, right? John 10 calls Jesus the good shepherd. Hebrews 13 calls Jesus the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5 calls Jesus the chief shepherd. So really, Jesus is really the greatest senior pastor, amen, right? The greatest shepherd. And pastors, what they do is they shepherd God's people underneath the great shepherd. You might hear the term under shepherds. And a pastor, here's what they do in the church. They give oversight. They nurture. They defend. They protect. They are to know their flock that God has given them authority over. They are to know them, and they're to sacrifice for the flock, for the church. And sometimes people lump pastors and this last one together, but I really think it's its own gift. They do overlap, but the last one is teacher. Because here's the thing, all pastors are called to teach. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But not all teachers are called to be pastors. But I'm telling you what, man, what an important role and responsibility in the church, those with the ability to teach God's word. So those are the roles and the office within the church. But I want to look at these giftings generally as well. Because I think, church, we need all of these in the church. All of these. When we look at the apostle, right, we don't want to look at it in this sense of it being the office, but really the function. Really, we call it apostolic, right? That's translated as a messenger. To have in the church someone that God has gifted, not to receive a new word from God, but to see where God is at work, to see the big picture and lead the church toward that, right? That's what we would call an apostolic leader. And then we think about prophetic. Again, we're not talking about a prophet like in back in the biblical days. But generally speaking, being prophetic, the Greek word here, speaks of those that apply God's word to God's people. That's what it means. They are gifted in this, right? What is God teaching us from his word, right? Where is he leading us? How do we join in and apply that to our lives? We need those in our church, right? And then being evangelistic, right? We are called and commanded to be sharing the gospel. Then we think about the pastor or shepherd, those that are shepherding and caring and protecting in the church. And then there's that teach, so that we can learn and grow. And when we look at this, there's definitely leadership applied here within the church. Those that lead in the church that God has called and allowed, right, to come and lead and shepherd and guide the church body. God places godly leadership in his church. Leaders that will be in his word, leaders that will be following him, imitating Christ, and leading others to do that. And so we see that happening here. We come to verse 12 through 13. Paul continues. Paul tells us this. He's got these gifts. He lists those five, and he says this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. When we look at those last two verses right there, I'd like for us to do something. I would like us to see the why. I think that's what it's telling us. Why do we use these gifts that God has given us? From these listed here, we see shepherding, right? Pastoring and teaching and being evangelists and hearing from God and applying His Word. From these two verses, I think we see four ways as to how or why we use these gifts. Paul says this. He says, it's for the equipping of the saints, for the works of service. Here's what we see. We see here that all saints, all followers of Jesus, are to use their gifts for the works of service or ministry. So number one on your notes would be, is this. We use these gifts for the works of ministry. Church leaders, they prepare, they train, and as we see here, equip God's people to do this. But all people in the church are to use their gifts. They're to serve and work for the ministry to accomplish the mission. So for the works of ministry. Number two, we use these gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. Right? So that we can grow and be nurtured and edified and develop. Number three, we use them for the unity of the church. Verse 13 says, until we attain the unity of faith. And so we use these gifts so that we're unified, right? But specifically in what we believe, and we're unified in what we teach and where we are headed as a church body. So we're unified in the faith, unified in the church. And last, number four, is to pursue maturity. We're going to talk more about that next week, so we're not going to dive too much into that. But here's the thing, guys. As followers of Christ, we're not to stay as immature believers. That's not the intent. We are to grow. We are to pursue Christ. And when we do Him, when we do pursue Christ, we pursue maturing because He grows us out of that time with Him. There's a man that I trust and respect, and he said this. He said, every member should grow up in their faith and in their walk and use a towel and no longer wear a bib. They should not remain immature consumers, but pursue being eager servants. I wish I had more time to cover all of these last gifts that we mentioned and really dive deep into the offices and the gifts mentioned. But church, I really believe this. I really believe that what we need to take away from this morning is what God is asking of us. What is He calling us to do? He's called us a couple weeks ago. We looked to be united, to fight for that unity. And now He wants us to be aware that each and every one of us has been gifted. He has gifted us by the grace of God to serve Him, to serve the church, and to accomplish His mission. Not alone, not separate from the church, but as part of the church. Guys, I hope this was... This is a tough text. It's one that can be difficult to dive into, but I think it's an important text in the Word of God. It's one that we've got to spend time studying and spend time just taking to God and saying, God, what do You want me to do with this? Here's what we do know. As a unified church, a church that is just fights for that unity, God has gifted us, and He calls us all to use those gifts to be a part of His mission. So I'm going to pray for that right now. If there's an area in your life that you would just say, man, I don't know what my gifting is, ask someone. Right? There's tools out there that you can use to help you out with that. Reach out to me. I'd love to connect with you about that. But if you know that area, man, just jump in and start being used by God to accomplish His mission. Let's pray. God, we love You. Thank You, God, that You are good, that You love us. God, we thank You that You brought us into the family of God when we turned to You. God, You saved us and You rescued us and You brought us into the family of God, to the church. And God, in Your wisdom and in Your grace, you brought us into the church to be used by You to accomplish Your mission. God, what a task. But You didn't leave us to do it on our own. God, You gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us. God, you gave us a body, a church family, brothers and sisters in Christ to pursue that with. And God, you have gifted us to be able to accomplish what you've called us to do. And God, I just pray, Lord, today that you would let everybody know that they are valuable and they're important. It doesn't matter what gift that you give them, God, we need to trust you in that. God, we pray, Lord, that they would just lean on you and just trust you in that. And God, that they would use their gift in the local church. Use it at Authentic Life. Not for me, not for Authentic Life, but to glorify you, to serve the church, and to accomplish your mission. God, I pray, Lord, you are glorified this morning. I pray, God, that what was shared today brought glory and honor to you. I pray, God, that our church is encouraged and challenged this morning to trust you, to know that you've gifted them, and God, just for them just to lean on you and say, okay, God, how do you want me to do that? Father, when we're all in, you can accomplish so much through us. And so, God, we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of what you're doing. God, if there's someone here today, I know this message was really geared towards the church, but here's the reality. We are a part of something that we don't deserve. And God, there are people out there. God, if they don't know you, you want them to be a part of this. You want them to be a part of the mission of God. You want them to be a part of what you're doing. You want them to be a part of the family of God so they can be united and loved and cared for within the body of Christ and follow you as Lord. And so, God, I pray, Lord, today, if there's someone listening today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we pray, God, that you would call them, that they would hear you, God, and they would turn and follow you. They would surrender their life to you. God, as we close up this morning, as we go about our day, I pray, God, that we would not let this leave our hearts and our minds. What would you have us do? How would you have us do it? God, we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. We pray, God, that you would continue to do things in and through us that only you can take credit for. Help us use our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, church.